Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies for this Thursday. My name is Peter Edmiston. I've been covering the Grizzlies for 15 years. Work on Sports 56 and 87.7 FM. Doing morning drive each and every morning, 7 to 10. Also, I'm a contributor for the Commercial Appeal on occasion. Also, doing this here podcast and a few other ins and odds and all this stuff. Did I say ins and odds? It's usually odds and ends. I'm gonna try to popularize that phrase, ins and odds. I think we can do that. Let's get that hashtag out there, hashtag ins and odds. We'll talk about the Grizzlies' much-needed loss that they went through last night against the Spurs in a really what was just a ruthlessly Spurs-ish performance. Even missing quite a few players, didn't matter. That was classic Spurs that we saw last night. Much needed. Grizzlies can't be winning too many of these games, and they certainly didn't last night. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about why losing those games is important. We'll talk about where things stand with the trade deadline 2 weeks away, and I can give you some rationale for some of the picks, some of the trades I threw out there last night and some of the feedback that I received on those. All that is on the way. Today's Locked On Grizzlies, though, brought to you by MyBookie. And let me tell you about MyBookie. MyBookie is tremendous. And you know, you've got the big game coming up next weekend, and you've got tons of NBA action. MyBookie.ag is the number one rated online sportsbook. You know, your fantasy football season's over, so now you got to use that sports knowledge a little bit differently. You can win by betting at MyBookie. It's the sportsbook that makes it easy to deposit and even easier to cash out your winnings fast. They've got odds on everything. And an all-new prop builder plus live betting. So now, here's how it works. You want to create your own bet slips? You can do that. Maybe bet your friends that LeBron will score 30-plus points, have 10-plus assists. No problem. You want to bet that Marc Gasol is going to score 20 points? No problem. You can bet that at MyBookie, and they can set things up just for you from your desktop, tablet, or on their world-class mobile site. And they offer the fastest, no-hassle payouts when you win. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA when making your account. That's LOCKEDONNBA. Use that promo code when making your account. Visit MyBookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite sportsbook where you play, you win, and you get paid. You know what the NBA, dabbling now famously in the betting world, Adam Silver, yesterday talking about a proposal, and the NBA wants to get in on the action. They want to take a little small percentage of all the action, too, get their bit of the rake in this whole thing. But they want to do so and make it up front and make it much more prominent and make it a bigger part of things, knowing that a lot of you guys like to bet. And a lot of you guys like to bet, you know, on games, on totals, on wins, losses, over-unders, that kind of stuff. The NBA wants to make that much more simple and much more prevalent, I think. To me, it makes perfect sense. You know, whether you like to bet or not, there's no denying that betting is a huge driver of interest and income. And Lord knows the NBA has been involved with Daily Fantasy. We've talked about Daily Fantasy. Daily Fantasy is very much like betting. It is betting in many respects. It's the next logical step to make that happen. And I think it would be a big driver for the league if they do. So keep an eye on that. It's a very interesting turn of events. Now to the game last night. Grizzlies lose and lose badly. That is the way that it should be. Guys, this is what the tank is supposed to be. That's how you do it right there. Never a question, never a doubt. Don't flirt with trying to win these games. That's not productive. It's not what you want. 108-85. Spurs dominate the Grizzlies more or less from start to finish, in even taking into account the fact that the Spurs were missing LaMarcus Aldridge due to rest, Rudy Gay with an injury, Manu Ginobili with an injury as well. You know, they still were able to, and Kawhi Leonard, you know, he's been out for a while. They were still able to just run their stuff. 29 assists on their 38 made baskets. They really moved beautifully with and without the ball. Great passing. Just Spurs, man, just doing Spurs stuff. And it was a great lesson for the young Grizzlies to see. And I talked to J.B. Bickerstaff, the Grizzlies interim head coach, about that after the game. And he said, you know, that's kind of what we want down the line eventually to create, is a system where there's so much movement. There's so much movement without the ball that the ball just continues to pass. You drive and kick, you know, play downhill. And he said it's a great lesson for those young players to watch and see just how far there is to go. And here's what it looks like when you're actually playing it at a really high level. That's a great, it's a great lesson. And those guys got a real crash course in it from the Grizzlies. Now, the Grizzlies were missing a whole bunch of guys, too. Obviously, Mike Conley, long-term absence. Chandler Parsons with the ever-persistent right knee soreness that's been around for a long, long time. Jermichael Green, still out. Jarrell Martin missed the game. Tyreek Evans, most importantly, missed this ball game too. And James Ennis on top of that. So lots of absences for the Grizzlies. It was a rotation that was necessarily a little short, yet they played 11 guys, you know, because six were out and you have 17 guys with your two-way guys. So the Grizzlies played all 11 that they could, and everybody got at least 11 minutes of action too. So you played everybody kind of across the board. It's what you know, from that perspective, it's good to see guys and give Kobe Simmons, for example, 14 minutes of play, to give Deontay Davis 21 more minutes out there. Wayne Seldon, getting him back 27 minutes. You know, that's those are all good things. Dylan Brooks has been playing this year the majority of the games he started, so you know, no surprise that he plays 30 minutes. And congratulations to him, by the way, for being named to the Rising Stars team at the NBA All-Star break for the World Team, representing Canada on the World Team. The only Grizzly to have that honor. Congratulations to Dylan Brooks for that. So last night, the outcome was, it was what it needed to be. And it was what you probably would have expected. And, you know, when the Spurs, unlike the Sixers on Monday, they didn't turn the ball over 300 million times. So the Grizzlies had, you know, had to actually run their offense. And that was not as easy as they found it on Monday. Grizzlies 2 of 18 from 3. That is certainly problematic. Mike Henry. Oh, Mike Henry. You know, life is funny. You go from sunshine and lollipops to sad thunderclouds and a whole lot of rain. Life is like that sometimes. And Mike Henry went from the penthouse to the outhouse. He was 0 for 7 from the field against the Spurs, 0 for 4 from 3. Did have two steals and two blocks, which is nice, but on the offensive side, it was very much a struggle for the budding Grizzlies superstar. You'll have to cancel the statue that was being put up, I think, after Monday. Probably back that down a notch or two. Turns out that when he is on the scouting report, even in a very small way, it makes a big difference as to how he is defended. But overall, this was a crash course in how to play for the young Grizzlies. And really the important thing is that they lost the game. You know, I told you it was important that they lost the game, and here's why. If you look this morning, for those of you that have ESPN Insider, and you know, not to brag, but I do. Yeah, that's right. You can look at Jonathan Givony's mock draft. And it is a horrifying spectacle right now for the Grizzlies and for Grizzly fans, or it should be. It should be a real eye-opener. He's got the spots for the draft based on projected final season where teams will end up when the season is over. And the Grizzlies are drafting 9th in his draft, which means that in that mock draft, in spite of everything that we've talked about all year long about the potential and how great this draft is and all that stuff, the Grizzlies finish 9th, and that means they draft Miles Bridges out of Michigan State. A good player, but not on the level that we've talked about with Trae Young and Bagley and Ayton and all those guys. If you go through this entire situation, the tank, the whole thing, if you go through all this mess and you end up with Miles Bridges, that is going to be a PR nightmare. And it doesn't mean that Miles Bridges would necessarily fail or would necessarily be worse from a career standpoint. You never know. Again, you know, Donovan Mitchell this year is a good example. A guy that was not necessarily hugely touted, but has vastly exceeded where he was drafted late in the lottery and has turned out to be extremely good. I mean, that who knows? But just purely from what you would expect based on historical background, not just 1 year, but decades of draft history, you want to be at the top. You want to be in that neighborhood. Just because the Grizzlies screwed it up, I'd rather they could screw up anything. Grizzlies could mess up any draft pick. I'd rather them have a chance to mess up at 1, 2, or 3 rather than 9, 10, or 11. It's harder to mess those up at the top. It's not impossible, but it's harder. So I'd rather that be the case. And I'd rather end up at when all this nonsense is over with, if you have a marketable, legit star in the making, like a DeAndre Ayton, who is easy to market. I mean, huge, very talented. Yeah, everyone, all these draft guys, you go up and down there, they've all got warts. They've all got problems. They've all got issues. Everyone's got issues. But that's a marketable thing. And you end up in that category rather than the Bridges one, that's what you want. If you go through all this nonsense and you end up outside of the top, and I think probably 7 is the number, to me, that would be where I would cut it off right now. That's probably fluid, probably subject to change, but right now the top 7, you'd feel pretty good about getting one of, you know, Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, even, you know, Mo Bamba. Question marks abound from Bamba, but he's I think, a little more of a sure thing than Thabeet was, and he's really, really good. So I think you'd feel pretty good about him. Michael Porter, even with the injury concerns, from a talent perspective, he is absolutely fantastic. Jaren Jackson, to me, is the guy that's most intriguing, almost maybe out of everybody. Because of the things that he potentially could do, his defensive ability already, the shooting, the length, he looks like KG. He looks like KG. He does. I mean, it's not a perfect comparison, but there's a lot of similarity. So you throw him in the mix. And then finally, Trae Young, who is just electrifying. So those are the guys, those 7. I think you feel pretty good about, and there are some guys you like more than others. Bamba probably down the list. Porter down the list from the Grizzlies' perspective because of injury and historical comparisons that you would make. But they're extremely talented guys. Then there's a bit of a gap. Then you have the Colin Sextons of the world. Then you have the Kevin Knoxes of the world. The Miles Bridges, the Michael Bridges, the Wendell Carter type guys, Robert Williams, these guys. That's not what you want to end up with. There's no knock on those guys, but that's not what you want to end up with at when all this is said and done. You want to end up with somebody more substantive. So how do you do that? Well, you start losing. That's how. And that's where this tank business, all that stuff, that's where it comes in. That's where it comes into play. Being developing a pseudo-winning culture, whatever that buzzword thing is, with a bunch of players who aren't going to be here long-term is not worth sacrificing the talent discrepancy between the top 5 pick and somewhere between 9 and 12. That's just not worth it. If there was a better trade-off, I could buy it. But considering most of these guys aren't going to be here long-term, whatever culture you build, you don't have a full-time head coach. There's so many things that are going to be built once all that is done that it doesn't make any sense to work on that type of cultural stuff. Grizzlies have never done that and probably won't start now. Doesn't make any sense to. What you need to do, and you saw it last night, what you need to do is trade Tyreke Evans now. You know, I get it that it's hard to watch your team lose games. No one loves to do that. But when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you can understand why. Short-term losing equals long-term winning. That's sometimes a tricky equation to get across, but it's true. And in this case, especially, the best way to ensure short-term losing is to trade Tyreke Evans. Now, obviously, you need to do that before the trade deadline, which is in 2 weeks, but the sooner you do it, the better you're going to do when it comes to losing. And here's why. In the month of January, the Grizzlies have played reasonably well, and it's been in large part due to Tyreek Evans. The Grizzlies are 6.7 points per 100 possessions better when Tyreek Evans is on the floor. When he is off the floor, the team is a minus 14. So you combine those two things, it's a plus 20.7 impact per 100 possessions based on Tyreek Evans. Last night, he wasn't part of the game. They get drubbed. It just makes sense. He's kept them afloat in so many ways. No one else on this team has anywhere close to that impact. Not even in the ballpark. Marc Gasol, not even close to the impact that Tyreek Evans has had. So you've got to get rid of him, because losing two or three more games, you know, you think this is where time comes into play. Because if you keep Tyreek around for these extra 2 weeks, that could be two or three wins that you get that you wouldn't otherwise get. And that could well be the difference between picking fourth and picking ninth. A huge difference in the quality of player that you could end up with. So not only do you need to trade him, but you need to trade him ASAP so that you can start to really turn the page and go on. And if that means you have to take slightly less for the deal, then you may have to take slightly less for that deal. I don't know, you know, at this stage, based on how tight it is, and I've kind of, you know, changed my view on this a little bit, based on how tight it is around these picks, you know, you've seen a lot of teams that are going to tank or are already starting to tank, and a few more are probably going to drop down. There's going to be a real scrap for this spot, and it's going to be tight. I don't think there's going to be a huge difference between the team with the worst record and the team with the ninth or tenth worst record. I don't think it's going to be a major difference. Every loss could potentially matter, which means that keeping a guy around who's going to get you wins is more harmful to that pursuit than probably I would have thought maybe a month ago. So that means if you got to take something a little bit less for Tyreek, then you do it. I mean, ideally, you want to get the deal that you want done. But if you have to take a little bit less, then that's the way it is. I put out on Twitter, you can check out my Twitter feed, at Peter Edmiston, the specifics of some of the deals that I offer. The one I like the most is the one to Detroit for Jermichael Green and Tyreek for Boban and Stanley Johnson. And that deal, you also would get lottery-protected first from Detroit, and you would give up your second. So that would be about a, you know, probably 15-20 pick difference potentially in that deal, but it makes sense for Detroit. I'm sure Detroit has been on the horn to Memphis about Tyreek. He just makes way too much sense for them. And then Jermichael, I think, is a good fit for them too. That's the one I really like. Yeah, I think the Wizards, you could certainly see them trading a first for Tyreek. May have to wait that one out till the deadline, but they have contracts, expiring contracts that'd be easy, and they have shown in the past the willingness to trade their first for a rental that would presumably help them. I would target whatever I could do, and I put one out there, but you may have to sweeten it up a little bit to try to get a guy like OG Anunoby in Toronto. I don't think it's going to be easy. It may not even be possible, but you have to try to work for him. I put a deal together that would involve him. I put a deal together that would involve Malik Beasley and Emmanuel Mudiay from Denver. Again, you know, assuming the Nuggets want to consolidate a little bit and want to get off some of those young guys and start to develop, you know, have a little more clarity in their rotations, get off some of that money, but also to win now, because they're kind of in the middle and you don't want to be there. And they've spent a lot of money. They got some concerns long-term money-wise, so it's time to win now, and that would be certainly a way that they could do it at a cost, but that would be something that I think they would have to look at. And then a deal I threw out there with Minnesota involving Jermichael and Tyreek again, who I think both would fit in Minnesota, and I think Jermichael in particular would really benefit from the way that Tom Thibodeau likes to run the show. I would trade those two guys for Justin Patton, would be kind of the young player that I would want. The Thunder first-round pick that Minnesota has. Marcus Georges Hunt, who's a nice young player, just a kind of a throw in, but decent. You can give him a run, see what he can do. Very hard nosed guy, and a good coach, kind of a glue guy in training. And then Cole Aldridge would be the bulk of the salary that would come over, and he's important because he's only guaranteed $2 million next year. So it would save you about $5 million, well, $6 million, really, off of what you would have paid JaMychal at that point. And you can use that money to free up to be able to have some wiggle room to use your full mid-level or whatever it is that you want to do in the offseason. In the future, you can go from there. But JaMychal, to me, is not part of the future, so you need to think about moving him now to go ahead and get that money off the books for next year, save yourself a little bit there, and also, again, to clarify and give more room and more time for the true young bigs that you've got to start doing stuff. Like Ivan Rabb looked good again last night. He's showing some real offensive skills. A lot of work to do, but there's a lot to like, certainly on the offensive side for him. Deontay Davis, I think, is flashing from time to time. Those guys need those minutes. And JaMychal, unfortunately, I don't think is part of the long-term situation, so move him. Brandon Wright, again, same kind of thing. Those are all guys that you would be willing to part with. James Ennis, clearly, a guy you'd be willing to part with. So, but the number one guy that you need to get off the books in all those trades, what they have in common, is Tyreke Evans. Get him off the books ASAP so you can start losing those games. Let me know what you think about those offers and more. You can tweet me. I am at Peter Edmiston. It was interesting. A lot of the feedback that I got early on those, a lot of people there was a real mix. A lot of people liked the Detroit trade. A few liked the Toronto trade. There was something for everybody among my deals. So check the thread. Tell me what you think. Shoot me a reply. I love to hear from all of you. You can also email me, pedmiston@gmail.com. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed listening to Locked on Grizzlies.